Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Praise God. Here it is Tuesday. Jesus is on the throne at the right hand of the Father, and prayer still changes things. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Kenneth Copeland Bible College this morning. And let's pick this up where we left off yesterday. And we'll read from the 16th chapter of Mark. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So, and I want you to notice something. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. They went forth and preached everywhere the Lord working with. You notice them is in italics. It shouldn't be there. They went forth and preached everywhere the Lord working with and confirming the word. They were preaching it, but he was confirming the word. Of course he was working with them, but really he was working with and confirming the word. If you don't preach the word, he doesn't have anything to work with. If you don't confess the word, he doesn't have anything to work with. Amen. So, now we were talking about Oral Roberts when we closed yesterday. He, as a young boy, stuttered so badly that when he stepped up in front of the class at school, he just simply couldn't speak. But his mother kept saying, Oral is my preacher. And they said, well, Mrs. Roberts, he can't even talk. How could he ever preach? She said, well, you just wait and see. Then, back in those days, tuberculosis was, he was born in January 1918. And tuberculosis among the Cherokee people was just rampant. It was terrible. And he had tuberculosis terribly. And he had coughed until the wall in his bedroom was just drenched in blood. There was a man came to town in a tent meeting, glory to God, by the name of Brother Muncie. Well, Oral's brother and sister said, well, you're going to that meeting. So he just picked him up and carried him out and put him in the back seat of the car. On the way to the meeting, the word of the Lord came to Oral Roberts. You will take my healing power to your generation. Now, there were other things to it, but that we'll just touch on that for now. You will take my healing power to your generation. Well, he finally was a pastor of a small church in Enid, Oklahoma. And can you imagine Oral Roberts selling gospel sheet music on the street for money? That's strange, isn't it? Now, hey, Oral could play the guitar and had a good singing voice. Now, most people don't know that because he never would do it. But some of the students once in a while, you know, put pressure on him and he would. It's funny. But anyway, what happened? Nothing. He just kept preaching to his little congregation. And everybody's happy. Nobody doing anything. But one day, there was a man there that was, that had a large piece of machinery fall on his foot. He's a mechanic. And someone called him his pastor, and he ran over there. And it was just a manifestation of special faith, which we will see at one point during this week. And suddenly, I mean, the man's boot was bleeding, just screaming in pain. And suddenly, he just reached down and touched it. And that man said, "Oral, what'd you do?" He said, I didn't do anything. He said, "It's well." He got up and stepped around on it. But then nothing else. Well, he got so hungry for it, he began to press and push and press and push and press and push. And he finally wound up on the kitchen floor one day crying out to God. And a manifestation of God's power, a tangible manifestation, came in his right arm. And it would, you know what they accused him of? The news media accused him of having a battery and a wire up his sleeve when he laid hands on people because it had such a powerful effect. Well, it was a battery, but it didn't come from any earthly battery. And the miracles, not just healing, miracles, miracles, miracles. I saw them. I'm not speaking for what I read in a book. I saw them. I knew the man until the day he went home to be with the Lord. I ministered with him. I saw it. More than a few. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But see, that was his calling. That was his mandate. And he pressed and pressed. The same thing happened to Kenneth E. Hagin. And he said, "I wondered after a while what I've been preaching for 15 years. But Jesus called him up to heaven. And in the presence, in heaven, he put his finger in the palms of Brother Hagin's hands. And he said, they burn like fire. But then the Lord told him, you always tell that everywhere you go. You tell that you saw me. You tell them that I put my hands in the palms of your hand. So there was a young woman many years ago, she and her husband, and contacted us and she had cancer. And of course, Gloria and I laid hands on her. But then the word, God said this to me. And so I said to her, "Listen, Brother Kenneth E. Hagin has more results in cancer in his ministry than anything else. So here's what we're going to do. Gloria and I are going to pay your expenses. We're going to pay your hotel bill, your travel bill, and get you to his meeting." Because every time he would tell that, Jesus told him to. Jesus preached the same message, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me." He preached it everywhere he went before he preached anything else. So they came back. We were so excited to hear the news. She said, "I'm telling you, that is the most egotistical man I have ever sat under in my life. Just telling everybody how much he's anointed." Well, she died. She went to heaven, of course. But she could have lived out her life. What did Jesus say? "If you receive me, you receive the one who sent me. If you despise me," no, "if they despise you, they despise me. If they despise me, they despise the one who sent me." Well, that's what happened with her. That didn't need to happen. But I'm pointing out those two tangible healing anointings. Now, why point that out? God wants you well. Their ministries occurred right after World War II. You have to remember this. This great healing revival started in 1947. The whole world was caught up in a world war, and the United States was hugely responsible for winning it. There were pastors that went into the defense plants and never did go back in the ministry. Got caught up in and earning more money than they'd ever seen in their lives, because they came right out of the Depression, right into that war. No president gets the reward for stopping that Depression. Not Mr. Roosevelt or anybody else. It was that war that stopped it. Because all of a sudden there were more jobs than they could be filled. And when that happens, skilled labor came up. So there had to be a move of God. And there had to be a strong, strong manifestations of healings and miracles. Because it was 98% word of mouth. You couldn't even, the only church on television at the time, well, they didn't even have television then, but even when television came, the only, you know, it's just First Church, whichever one is handy. Dear Lord. But not anymore. Amen. Not anymore. But this all serves to show you how God wants His people well. There were many, 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 many miracles on the battlefield. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Been doing all of this speaking and talking and so forth just to get down to this. Because the Apostle Paul was teaching. And you don't just start right at one place. Go check out the neighborhood. So look in the 11th chapter, because the 11th chapter is where you learn how to receive communion unto yourself. It prepares you to learn about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in miraculous ways. He said, now, you know, I received this from the Lord, which I delivered unto you. Now, verse 31, for if you would judge, we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, or corrected, that we should not be condemned with the world. So you don't condemn yourself. You judge yourself. I have done that many, many, many times. I take communion a lot. And I just stop before the Lord and say, Lord, I judge myself in this. And I humble myself before you, and I'm asking you to judge me. Point out anything in me that needs to be stopped or changed, where I'm coming short, or something I've forgotten that you've given me to do. Spend some time with this. Amen. Now, we're going into an area here in the Spirit and in ministry that takes more than a little time spent with the Lord. I'll tell you a quick story. This man, a friend of mine, and brilliant man. And his background, he joined the Air Force as an enlisted airman, and then and spent 4 years there. He came out and got into aviation and eventually became an airline pilot and just a powerful man. But now he walked so closely with God. He walked so closely with Him every day. He talked to Him every day. He developed his relationship with Jesus to the point he talked to Him about everything. There was one situation where it was either Braniff, I believe it was Braniff Airlines before they folded up. And they had a cart that carried all the catering. You remember, they'd take those carts up and go into the airplane over the wing and go into the back part of the airplane. And this cart dumped over and damaged the wing. Well, they called Thurman and they said, look, see if you can do something about this. So he just started talking to the Lord about it. And the Lord began to show him. And he began to have visions of it. And he corrected it and corrected it until it got to the point where then he drew off what needed to be changed. They changed it, and those carts are still built that way today. Now, here's another one. He was checking underneath, this was before he became a pastor. He was checking underneath an area, and he crawled up under there and checking this area, and he heard the audible voice of God. Son, you forgot your papers. And he said, well, oh, yeah, I did, Lord. And I'll get them in. No, he said, you get up, you go get them right now. He heard that. So he scrambled out from under there. And just as he scrambled out from under it, a load, 20,000 pounds of steel hanging right up above that, the thing broke and fell, and he danced out of the way of it. But you have to develop that. That didn't begin that day with Thurman Shribner. There was a life of communication. He spent a lot of time talking to him. Talked to him all the time. Day in and day out. You develop that. Spend time listening. You already know everything you know. I got that from Brother Hagin. I'm not smart enough to come up with that. Spend time. Now then, after you've judged yourself now, see that? I like this. Now, chapter 12. Concerning spiritual gifts. Notice in this case, gifts is in italics. Concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. When I was a student at Oral Roberts University, I was studying these things. And I read that verse of Scripture. No man says Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. Now, when I was a little boy in elementary school, junior high school, my book covers had airplanes all over them. Well, now I began to write, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. And I got up that little desk about that size in our this little project house we had rented while we were there. And, the kids were just small. And I just wrote Jesus is Lord on every paper I could find. And then later on, I heard the word of the Lord say that I'm going to preach this word that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost, and He's our soon coming King, and He is our Melchizedek, He is our financier, because this was the mandate that God called me in. He said, I want you to teach my people the laws of success and the laws of prosperity. That's what I'm called to do. And I'm going to preach these things, that Jesus is Lord, because I'd heard this from the Lord. From the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. And so I drew this little world, and it had Jesus, a flag that said Jesus is Lord around it. And there's this little airplane going around the center. And that's the way I had my first business cards made. Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. Well, He is, isn't He?
Yes.
There's a lot of people that He's Savior, but He's not Lord. How much time, Tim? Good. Thank you. Now, let's read this. I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts. Notice here, gifts is not italicized. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration or ministries, but the same Lord. For there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, that's what we're talking about. I'll give you an assignment. Look up the places where it said, and suddenly, starting with the day of Pentecost, and suddenly there was a sound. And suddenly the Spirit moved. And suddenly it happened. God is a sudden God. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man or every person to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Notice it's a word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge. Now, that's what happened over and over again to Thurman Scribner. The word of knowledge came to him about that catering cart. It was the word, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit living within him, that saved his life that day. And then after going into the ministry, glory to God, I'm telling you, the healing ministries and the things that happened with this man and his wife, Cheryl, I mean, magnificent things, just magnificent things. He's in heaven today, just went a few days ago. Heaven is rejoicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I had the very distinct pleasure of ordaining his wife and separating her into the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because now she's the administrator now, and she carries on that ministry. Praise God. Now notice this. To another, faith or special faith. There's a difference between saving faith and special faith. This is that moment, like that. That's what happened to Oral Roberts, that special faith. He wasn't trying to believe anything, but by the Spirit of God, he just touched that man's foot and the power of God fixed it. That was a lead-in to what he was called to do. And then he said, well, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going. And we're out of time. So we'll take up again here tomorrow. Glory to God. Come on. We'll be back here in just a moment. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I'm Maddie Park, and I'm a KCBC graduate. I was really shy and unconfident when I first came. I would try to like put the smile on and do the right things, and I loved people, but I had a lot of growing up to do, and halfway through the first year, the Lord told me, he's like, I'm here to purge you of everything that you do not need in ministry. And so I learned integrity. I learned faith, and I learned excellence. I learned the three things that KCBC is about, but I also learned that there was pride in my life, and I didn't think that, you know, to be honest, there was pride there, and I didn't think that there was. And so the Lord really taught me about humility. One thing Pastor Greg really talks about, Pastor Dwayne, all the other pastors and instructors, they talk about lifting him up, and it's not putting you down, but the more you lift him up, the more he'll lift you up, but for the purpose of lifting him. And so that was probably like one of the biggest things I learned. You're in the Word all the time. And so it's easy to keep growing. It's easy to keep getting more Word. And so the hardest part will be to keep that going, pursuing him when you don't have somebody right on your shoulder being like, you got this, you go, I'm with you, you know? My best friend is my roommate, The first day we met, we were meeting at our apartment that we were going to buy. And I'm going to cry, but she brought me through everything. She taught me how to stand on the word. She taught me how to take God's word as the final word, how to be led by the Spirit, and lots of practical stuff. And so I would say her, along with all my other young people, also the older people. Like, I'm so tight with some of those older people because they keep me grounded. They've got wisdom. So changed my life. I'm really going to miss them. There's a scripture that I was looking at today. Paul is talking about how in his weakness, that's when God shines through. And that's so powerful. So just come as you are and let God just purge you. Let God move with you and be open to people. Don't shut yourself off from your classmates because they will be there for you.
Kenneth Copeland Bible College is more than just an education. It's a lifestyle of faith that changes you.
People from all different ages, races, and cultures came here for the same reason, to be intensely discipled in the word of faith and equipped for ministry.
They trained me with practical ministry opportunities to serve with excellence and teach others to do the same.
At Kenneth Copeland Bible College, I found faith, family, and my calling.
Take the next step. Apply today.
You're called by God to be an overcomer. When your life is operating on His Word, you can't help but thrive. Believers should be the most powerful people on the planet, sharing God's healing and salvation everywhere they go. Learn how God has already called and empowered you to live like Jesus with Kenneth Copeland's teaching, Healing and Love on MP3. Jesus said that His words are life. Get His word into your spirit by speaking it out in faith and let His love transform you. When you learn to walk in His love, you'll overcome sickness and disease every time. God is absolute life, so nothing to do with death can ever be in Him. He desires for you to prosper and be in health, spirit, soul, and body. In fact, God loves you so much, He made healing as much a part of your salvation in Christ as eternal life. Be transformed by the power of His word and become an agent of God's healing and love.
God anointed Jesus with power to heal the sick and walk in supernatural power because He operated in God's love. Find out more when you request Kenneth Copeland's audio series, Healing and Love. Receive your copy free on kcm.org/TV special or when you call 800-600-7395. Offers good for 60 days. Outside of the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Now I know you'll be back with us again tomorrow and hear the rest of the story. Praise God. So we really appreciate you being here today. We love you and God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.